The Oklahoma City Thunder play a highly anticipated game today. What it's like to have those emotions back in Bricktown. Plus, what's the best, worst, and most likely case scenario for this four-game road trip? We'll talk about it all coming up on today's Locked On Thunder podcast.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's get it going on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, media member and editor-in-chief over at thunderousintentions.com. Ryland Styles, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryland_Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LOThunderPod. Email the show, LOThunderPod@gmail.com. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. We're going to dive into the Oklahoma City Thunder West Coast trip, the best, worst, and most likely case scenario for the Thunder on this trip. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. It's the best sports book around. And the Thunder tonight are going to kick off a very exciting trip. So here it is. At Clippers, which they're 2-0 against the Clippers this season. A day off Wednesday. And then at Clippers again on Thursday. At Lakers on Friday. That's a back-to-back. They're 1-1 against the Lakers this season so far. So this game will decide the tiebreaker between these two teams. If the Thunder can steal one game and beat the Clippers at least once in this baseball-style series, they'll also get the tiebreaker over the Clippers as well. Then they have a day off to travel up to Portland. And when they get to Portland, they'll play, of course, the Trailblazers, who the Thunder already have the tiebreaker over with a 3-0 record against Portland. This group of games will shake up the standings in a dramatic fashion. The Thunder right now sit at 35-36. Yes, they once again have a chance to get back to 500, for the first time this season. So far this season, they've had this chance many a times, and they failed in each occurrence. Can they stop that skid against the Clippers tonight? We'll find out. The Thunder is currently tied with a winning percentage for seeds 8 through 10. Right now, they're in 9 to the tiebreakers, but so if the season were to end today, they'd be the 9th seed. But the Thunder are only a half game out of the 7th seed. The Thunder are a game away from the 6th seed, which allows them to avoid the play-in tournament altogether, where they are just firmly planted in the NBA postseason. And that is such an amazing, story, an amazing feeling all in of itself. In the last 10 games, the Thunder are 7-3. And then the teams around them. The Thunder have been miles and miles and miles better than the teams around them since 2023. Like, they have far and away the best net rating of all these teams since the start of January 1st, 2023. Portland has lost 6 straight games, and it feels like they're out of it 4 games back of 10. The Pelicans are 4-6 in the last 10 games, and I just don't know if they can get right considering how unlucky they've been with injuries. And Utah, I struggle to put Utah in a box because I feel like their fan base would be pounding the table the same way that we were a couple of weeks ago. We just want so bad to say, well, the Jazz are surely going to start losing at some point, right? But then they get a big win yesterday over the Kings, and they're 5-5 in the last 10 games, and right now they'd be in the play-in tournament. So go listen to Locked On Jazz to figure out what the Jazz are going to do, because that's what I'm going to be doing after this podcast, because I have no idea what to think of Utah. But the bottom line is the Thunder have everything in front of them, and to this point, based upon the sample size that we have of this specific season, the Thunder are one of the top 10 teams in the West. And so on this trip, there is excitement built up. There is anticipation built up, and there is some nerves. The feelings are back. The emotions are back of basketball here in Oklahoma City, here in Oklahoma as a state, here in the entire fan base, wherever you are at. You're feeling that weird sort of excitement mixed with kind of nervousness, that just sports feeling. It's back in OKC already after 2 years. So some notes about this trip. SGA on the road in LA over the entirety of his career. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal per game. But SGA, since the 2020-2021 season in LA. Get ready for this. 28 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, 49% shooting from the floor, 51% from 3 on 4 attempts a game. He is sensational when he goes to LA. He is immaculate in LA. And the sample size of him being the guy, being the face of a franchise, being the leader of a team, when he steps foot in Staples Center, now known as, you know, Crypto.com Arena, or whatever it's called, it's tried and true that he is going to put on a show. And so with the Clippers 5-5 in the last 10 games, it wouldn't surprise you if the Thunder were able to get one of these games. And another note about this road trip is you got to figure out what to do with Shea in general. Not only do defenses have to figure out how to defend him, which at this point in the year, it seems impossible. But for the Thunder, how do you manage him with that abdominal strain? Do you sit him on the front night of the back-to-back against the Clippers and let him play versus the Lakers? Do you sit him on the back end like usual and let him sit versus the Lakers? Do you play him in both? And then you sit him in both of the Hornets and the Pistons game? Like, does that make sense medically? I'm not a doctor. I don't know if that's how it works. Maybe it doesn't work that way. Maybe you just have to sit him in one of each. But when you look at this stretch of the season, I think ideally what you would do from a medical perspective of, like, managing Shea, if you could just handpick the outcomes of these games, I think that you would take tonight's game in LA, win it, clinch the tiebreaker over the Clippers, rest him on Thursday if you must rest him in the back-to-back scenarios, which they have said that they have to do. Rest him on Thursday, play him on Friday against the Lakers, win that game, clinch the tiebreaker over the Lakers. So I think that might be an idealistic view of it. And then if you lose tonight's game, then at that point, what do? Would you rather have the tiebreaker over the Clippers or the Lakers? I think that you probably lean towards winning that tiebreaker over the Lakers still because of just the nature of what the standings look like at this point. But it'll be interesting to see how this team manages SGA. That's for sure. So what are the best, the worst, and the most likely case scenarios for this Thunder team and for what will be the rest of this season on this road trip? It'll start to pave the way for what the rest of this season will look like for OKC. We're going to talk about all that coming up. But first, I want to tell you right now about our good friends over at FanDuel, folks. FanDuel is incredible. FanDuel is there for you. It is America's number one sports book. Go check it out today at FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Go check it out as the tournament is heating up in men and women's college basketball. You can download the America's number one sports book app in FanDuel. If you're new, that's perfect. You get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 and bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to the points scored to three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So do not miss this chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go over there to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. It is the official sports betting partner of the NBA as well. And let's go there right now to their NBA lines. You have Thunder Clippers tonight. Thunder are +7 underdogs by 7 points in this game. If I were you, and if you felt up to it, I think that I'd like the Thunder +7 in this one. So go check it out today, FanDuel.com/lockedon. We're back on the Lockdown Thunder Podcast, on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every single morning, every single day. We're here for you talking Thunder basketball. Make sure you subscribe across all podcasting platforms, including on YouTube. And for your second listen, go check out the Game to the Game podcast, the NBA recapped for you in 15 minutes or less by all of our local hosts about the games from the night before around the association. Go check that out. Also check out Locked On NBA and NBA Big Board, getting you ready for the NBA draft. What's the best case scenario for the Thunder in this road trip? The obvious answer is they win all four games. And that's not necessarily the stretch that it feels like it is. Granted, you have to keep into perspective that the Thunder are not good on the road. However, no team in the West is. I mean, there's only two teams with an above 500 record on the road in the Western Conference this season. But in these four games, with everything that's on the line, with that monumental win over the Suns, which could carry some momentum, some can carry some weight into these next four games, with SGA's track record against LA teams and in LA, and the possibility, which was kind of, sort of, maybe hinted at by Mark a couple of days ago, of possibly figuring out how to rest him later and right now playing him in both of these back, you know, games in LA. With the possibility of that looming, I don't know how likely that is, but again, it's somewhat of a possibility right now, and we're talking about the very, 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 very best case scenario. If everything went perfectly perfect for OKC, you win all four games as SGA looks elite. Josh Giddey has played really well under the brightest lights in his career to this point, both in the NBL, but also in the NBA. Like, his triple-doubles, where does he get them? MSG, like, he performs at the Mecca. He performs really well on these kind of marquee type of games. We saw Jalen Williams perform really well in that game against the Lakers whenever LeBron was getting the scorer's title and he was sitting over there with a massage gun while they're presenting LeBron all these different presentations after he breaks the scoring record. He was all business getting ready to go. Like, these guys seem like they're going to rise to the occasion. And even in games against better teams that they lose, they're very competitive. They go down to the wire, and maybe they just can't quite get over the hump yet. So I think that these games are going to be inherently close. And at that point, it's just a couple bounces of the balls. But we've seen the core of this team look really good whenever they're faced with pressure, when they're faced with big games, when they're faced with games that have a ton of implications, especially in the standings. They drop the game in Toronto, immediately come back, steal a game against Phoenix after not looking, you know, great in the first quarter. They were able to overcome it. And the Lakers and Clippers are by no means a buzzsaw. That's why they're in this position. Like, the Lakers and Clippers have had some bad losses. They've had some games where they don't show up. They've had some games where they just don't look like a competent basketball team. What if that happens? Portland looks like they've given up. And by Sunday, they very well could have just given up. So being 4-0 would basically lock you in to a play-in spot as long as you take care of business against the teams that are in front of you, like the Hornets, Pistons, Pacers, and Jazz. Like, 4-0 would be incredible, both standings-wise. It would be, at that point, 5 straight wins for this team. And that's how young teams kind of get rolling. That's how young teams, you know, sort of get going in the right direction. Now let's talk the worst-case scenario for OKC. The worst-case scenario is, hey, it's March 21st. It's time for the Clippers to get going, getting ready for the playoffs. And the Clippers, with Kawhi, with Paul George, they look dominant. They look awesome. Russell Westbrook turns back the clock against his old team, has a vintage couple of games, and the Clippers sweep this baseball-style series over the Thunder, just like you swept the series over them way back in October. And then you have to rest SGA against the Lakers. So, I mean, SGA's out at that point on the worst-case scenario, and the Lakers win. Austin Reeves dominates. AD, of course, plays, looks good. And then you go to Portland, and, you know, you're on the road. It's getaway day. You just want to get back home after a long, disappointing road trip, and you put up a stinker in Portland, and you lose. However, you still have a tiebreaker for Portland, even with that loss. But still, you lose to Portland, and then head back home. At that point, you leave yourself no margin for error. You literally will have to beat the Hornets, the Pistons, the Jazz, the Pacers. And you probably need to steal one more game over a team like Memphis or Golden State or whoever that you want to throw in that category of Phoenix, you know, on that last home game, of teams that on paper would be better than OKC. So at that point, your margin for error is razor thin during the worst case scenario. Which, I don't think that the worst-case scenario is going to happen. Just like I don't think that the best-case scenario is going to happen. Which is why we have a most likely case scenario. Look, the most likely case scenario is Oklahoma City beats Portland. Let's just get that out of the way. I know that we're still hesitant. I know that we still let those preseason memories and predictions creep back into our head. The bottom line is, factually sitting here today, the Thunder are a better team than the Portland Trailblazers. End of discussion. End of discussion. Dame plays, Dame doesn't play. The Thunder are a better team than Portland this year. The Thunder have won in Portland this year. So don't even hold up the road record. The Thunder are going to go to Portland, and they're going to beat Portland. So they're at least going to be 1-3, if we can agree on those facts. Another fact, SGA always plays spectacular in LA. He always finds a way to play an amazing game, to hit clutch shots, to will his team to a win against these LA teams. So I feel very comfortable in saying he will do that at least once this week. When he's got at least two cracks at an LA team, if he plays in all three, he's got three cracks at an LA team in LA. So that puts you at 2-2. And it's not as though the Lakers have been superb. They just lost to the Rockets. But I still think the most likely case scenario is you lose a game in LA, at least one, probably lose two in LA, and then you beat Portland and you beat LA once. You beat one of the LA teams once, you beat Portland, and then you're 2-2. I think that that is the most likely outcome. And holding serve on the road in this conference, where we just mentioned that no team can do that, like where the Western Conference road records are abysmal. Even the first seed Denver Nuggets are 500 on the road. The Sacramento Kings are the only team that have a significant road record that's of any significance. The Clippers are one game ahead of 500 on the road. And then it's all under 500, including the defending champion Warriors, 8-29. So holding serve on the road, going 2-2 here, while coming back home to take on the Hornets and the Pistons, would be a fantastic showing. And one that I think is fairly likely. Like, you beat Portland, and then you just win one of three games in LA. Against LA teams who are very talented, like Clippers, of course, very talented. They're going to play Kawhi tonight. They're going to play Paul George tonight. They're going to play Russell Westbrook tonight. They're going to play their guys except for Norm Powell. He's the only one that's out tonight. You know, the Clippers are talented. The Lakers have AD. Like, that's awesome. And Austin Reeves, who's playing phenomenal to the point where he gets an hour-long highlight film on YouTube. But they're by no means unbeatable. Like, if they were unbeatable, they wouldn't be in the same position as the rest of this conference. The Lakers right now, if the season ended today, would not be a playoff team. They are what their record says that they are. So I think that 2-2 is very likely. And that is what would be perfect for OKC. Obviously 4-0 would be great. 3-1 would be awesome. But 2-2 would really be perfect for OKC. And no matter what happens the rest of this season and the rest of this road trip, it has already been great to this point because feelings are back in Oklahoma City for basketball. And that's a great thing. I'll tell you why coming up. We're back on the Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, Lockdown Thunder podcast. Subscribe for free across all podcasting platforms so you never miss an episode, including on YouTube. Make sure you follow me on Twitter as well, at Ryland_Styles. And folks, I don't care if the best case scenario happens, if the worst case scenario happens, or if the most likely case scenario happens. What I care about is the fact that waking up today on March 21st, there is an overwhelming sense of excitement for game day. There's an overwhelming sense of joy, of care, of really, really, really wanting this win, wanting to beat the Clippers, wanting to go spam the trade memes on Twitter. And you wake up this deep in the season with only 12 games left or whatever it is, only a game away from the sixth seed. You wake up today knowing that you have a superstar who can win you any game that he plays in. So if you make the playoffs, if you miss the playoffs, if you go 4-0, if you go 0-4, the future is still incredibly bright, because after 2 short years, the Thunder are playing meaningful basketball on the biggest stage in the NBA tonight. And they're playing meaningful games without Chet Holmgren. And let's make sure that we understand what that means. I don't necessarily even mean that Chet Holmgren being on this team would make them a 4 seed or a 3 seed or whatever. I'm saying that this team took a canyon size leap. They are so competitive this year compared to last year. They're in such a position in the standings this year compared to last year. And they don't have Chet Holmgren. He's not the crutch. He's not the, oh, okay, yeah, but they're only doing this because of Chet Holmgren being back. Because of Chet Holmgren being the pick. You have not even seen the best pick of the rebuild in terms of positioning. Your only top 5 pick of this rebuild has not played a minute for you. And you've already made this progress where you have an amazing coach, where you have a superstar, where you have Jalen Williams, who looks like a future all-star, and many people around the NBA, nationally, locally, players, former players, whatever it is, coaches, they're all saying that Jalen Williams can be a future all-star. And that's no longer just a niche opinion. That's no longer just local hyperbole. You've seen Jalen Williams turn into an all-star caliber player. You've seen Josh Giddey take significant strides that continue to be undervalued. If they had this exact same record with Chet, it would be kind of even more nerve-wracking, because at that point you're just hoping, okay, everyone keep getting better, keep getting a little bit better. No, they've done all this before they've seen their only top 5 pick of the rebuild step on the floor. They've also found really good role players. They've also done a lot of good things in development. And like I said, they've gotten a legitimately great coach. But you know what? You're here now. You're in this position. You're a game away from 6th place. All you got to do is hold serve and you're in the postseason one way or the other. This has been all house money. This has been all gravy. This has been all fantastic stuff. But you've got a superstar in a star-driven league. You've got the record and the schedule to be able to make the playoffs. And you're here now, so you might as well win. You might as well go out there and win and take care of business and continue to declare yourself as one of the best young up-and-coming teams in the NBA. Continue to show that canyon leap that's taking place right now. And it's great to have these feelings, to have this excitement about Thunder basketball back again. So folks, on tomorrow's show, we're going to recap this game against the Clippers, and we're going to be here for you every single day and after every game. So make sure you subscribe across all podcasting platforms, including on YouTube. And until tomorrow, be good and be good to one another.